Crow. On today's show, we have the concluding part of my interview with notoriously controversial musician Morrison, and Khalid chooses his Desert Island Death Disc. But first, our resident reviewers Hayley Danks and Ruth Goodchild review the Visit England Hall of Fame, in which members of the public have helped to choose the greatest things that represent what England has brought to the world. It is a lovely, varied selection, ranging from the Glastonbury Music Festival to the Humble Sandwich, and I thought it summed up England very nicely. But let's see if our reviewers agree.
Okay, hi. It's me, Hayley Danks, again, here with Ruth Goodchild.
Hi, good to be back.
Great to be back, as always. So, what we looked at was the Hall of Fame, englandshalloffame.com, which is set up by Visit England to, celebrate?
Celebrate, or just sort of tell people about Britain.
State some things.
England, state some things about Britain. It's a pop-up exhibition on South Bank. What do you think about pop-up exhibitions?
I mean, for me, I think pop-up is the way forward for art, and I would actually prefer it if all art was pop-up.
I agree, because going into a gallery to see art is so sort of last century, for goodness sake. It's like the first place you'd go. So I think shake things up a bit, have art all over the place, have culture in your face all the time.
In unexpected places,
hospitals, pop-up exhibition in a hospital. Don't even ask their permission.
No.
Just go in, put the art on the walls and run away.
Yeah, I mean, even mid-operation.
Why not?
I mean, if you're a surgeon, you're not going to want to just be doing I've been doing
this operation for like 4 hours.
I need some
culture, for goodness sake.
Exactly. And surgeons are cultured people.
They're very cultured people. You can't expect them to just be involved in their science all the time.
No.
They need something to, you know, activate the heart as well as the brain.
Can I just say that was a lovely, way of putting it.
Thanks
activate
very much.
The heart.
I've been thinking about it all week.
Oh, I really like that.
Thanks.
And I just think, especially if they were doing a heart
operation. And you're thinking, I'm working on someone else's heart, but what about my own?
What about my soul in
my
all of
soul.
This? I'm working on someone's foot. I'm working on their soul, dare I say it.
Soul.
I just did. So I think that would be great. I think also, why not in classrooms? Pop-up art in
pop-up
classrooms.
Pop-up art in classrooms. That's a great idea. Not for the students, because they wouldn't understand it.
No.
Obviously.
I mean, they wouldn't... You know, there's a lot of time wasted on trying to get kids engaged with art. I think don't bother.
They don't understand it.
No.
So art in classrooms, but for the general public.
Yeah.
To just wander in. Maybe even in their desks or in their bags.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
And if it's in their desks, old fashioned style, the desk would be popping
up. Literally pop up art.
Yeah.
So let's have a look at some of them. Let's see.
And may I just also add that the layout, I found a little dull.
Pedestrian, wasn't it? Lines.
Straight lines. No curves. And
they could have put some above you.
Yeah. I mean,
or some in the Thames, and they didn't.
Oh my God. In the Thames would have been perfect, because then you really have to demonstrate that British spirit.
Exactly. You have to want the art. I want the culture. I'm going to seek it.
Yes, spirit of the Blitz. Get your life jackets on. They could have had some life jackets hanging as bunting.
As bunting, you know? And it's maybe painted on, go for it.
Go for it.
Then you put it on, jump into the Thames, see the art.
It was
spoon-fed to you in straight lines.
Why not have a flight of stairs going up to see the next level? But there is no next level.
A flight of stairs going to nowhere. That sums up Britain.
Yeah.
And that's what the whole exhibition was supposed to be about.
For me, that is the British psyche.
Yeah.
You know?
Disappointment.
Yeah.
I'm waiting. Yeah. Oh, nothing.
I have a sense of expectation. It's been dashed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was in Noises.
I liked it.
Okay. Okay, so the first one we've got here is Glastonbury, Glastonbury Festival.
For me, Glastonbury is all about, you know, being free, unconventional, having a sort of spiritual awareness without actually being tied to one religion. Looking at the image of Glastonbury... as you can see, Ruth, there's a lot of mud, and I really...
And people queuing.
People queuing and mud. And
I like that as an image of Britain. People queuing. Because I queue all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I went to South France recently, and they don't know how to queue there.
No,
they really
not.
Needed someone like me to sort of say, come on, guys, let's line up.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just a free for all and just for anarchy.
Yeah.
I think they listened. They listened to me. I wasn't speaking French. I was just speaking
louder.
Mm. And they seemed to sort of respect that. And there were a few sort of naysayers, but I just got out my passport, and they seemed to understand from then on. Okay, next one.
That's
Glastonbury. Was it? Oh yeah, I learned something today. The theory of gravity was invented in Britain.
So
that's another one, yeah. Gravity, TM, invented in Britain.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
So like,
I didn't know that.
Well, that's amazing.
I know.
I mean,
I thought there'd always been gravity, but apparently not. It started in, let me just check this, 1666, which is quite late.
Quite late.
Yeah.
So presumably before that point, there was a lot of like tying of heavy weights to one's
something like that.
I mean, I'm not sure if I'm totally convinced by the whole gravity thing.
It is only a theory, though. So I think it's important that they teach the controversy, teach the alternative in schools.
Yeah. Pros and cons.
I think what's next?
Tennis. So, you know, not everyone in the country has had the pleasure of going to centre court several times.
No, we've seen each other there quite a few times, though, haven't we?
Yeah, we've bumped into each other on Henman's Mount.
Something like that. But I am led to believe that not everyone has.
Mm.
So I'm quite surprised that they've shown tennis as being one of the pillars of the UK.
Yeah. I mean, I would have preferred, rather than this generic image of Wimbledon, I would have preferred it if they'd shown our tennis champion Andy Murray. For me, that would have really summed up England, to see his angry face,
repressing his emotions. He's such a charismatic man. I think that, you know, just a lovely picture of him just showing all that charisma. It's very like Freddie Mercury. Would have been perfect, rather than just a picture of an old field or something, which they've got here.
Maybe him in a Freddie Mercury outfit.
Andy Murray wearing the sort of white t-shirt that Freddie Mercury wore at Live Aid.
Looking
peaked. But holding a tennis racket instead of a microphone.
There you go. But singing into it.
Like the little boy from when he was little.
In front of the mirror. As I'm sure all tennis players did.
Yeah.
In front of the mirror with their tennis jackets, singing into them.
There you go. Tenor. Britain. There you go.
Yeah.
Or maybe just Tim Henman crying.
Oh, yeah.
That's the other option. Okay, next. The sandwich.
I mean, it's plain, it's simple. Is that a good thing, Ruth? I put it to you.
I don't think so. I was disappointed that they thought the sandwich exemplifies Britain. I would prefer some crudités, some vol-au-vents.
Yeah,
sandwich.
Yeah. It's plain.
Britain.
And also, don't you think it's a bit obvious that they've got the place sandwich?
Sandwich.
Alongside the item sandwich.
Sandwich, yes.
You know,
I think it's amazing they actually named a place after a bit of food.
It's bizarre.
Absolutely bizarre.
I mean, could they not have gone a step further by having two pictures, a sandwich, the place sandwich, and then a person called sandwich in the middle, sandwich between them.
So you've got four layers of sandwich there.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay, next. Downton Abbey.
Oh.
I've never seen it. Is it a programme?
It's a programme.
Right.
Yeah. I love it, Ruth. You're so cultured, you haven't seen it.
Yeah, well, apparently Americans watch it, so I was automatically put off.
That's totally valid.
Yeah.
I can really see why that would be enough to deter. I mean, I've watched it, I sort of had to watch.
Right.
In order to review for some.
Oh, right. So you sort of put yourself through it.
Yeah.
Through the trauma.
I put myself through it sort of every single week, without fail, and then I bought the box set just to make sure that I hadn't missed anything.
Right.
You know.
Gosh, I remember when you had to do that with The Wire.
Do you remember those times?
Those terrible days.
Yeah.
Quite affected your personality, that, as well, didn't it?
Just
hearing
all
that effing and jeffing every day really affected who you were for a while. I was quite worried.
I know. I felt that I really sort of went off the rails in that period of my life. I experimented. I mean, obviously I experimented anyway, but a lot more so than one would have. Yeah, and, you know, my freelance work was dipping slightly. I mean, you could see it a mile off.
I could see it a mile off. I remember once, this is how crazy she was, listeners. I arranged to meet her at 2 at the Royal Festival Hall, and she turned up at sort of 10 past. It was crazy.
I know. I still.
I was worried.
I still feel bad about that.
Do you remember that?
I do remember, because, like, to compound that situation, my battery of my phone was totally flat, and I couldn't even text you to say,
I'm going to be a bit late.
I'm going to be slightly late.
I had a second cappuccino and finished it, and I was really worried.
I feel so bad about that, Ru. I'm so sorry.
So, these programs can affect you.
Yeah.
That's what we learned. So, Downton Abbey, that's going to be a no from me, I'm afraid. Let's see what's next. The boat race, the Oxford and Cambridge boat race. Does that say something about Britain? Does that exemplify Britain?
Yes.
Yes.
To me, that's Britain.
I agree with that. Next, Magna Carta. Right, who is she?
You mean it doesn't speak to me.
It doesn't speak to me at all.
No.
It doesn't even sort of wave at me from a distance.
No. It doesn't even have a slight smirk at me from across the room. A knowing British smirk.
No. And then turn and leave.
Yeah.
To be gone forever.
Yeah.
No. Okay, what's next? Banksy.
Oh, Banksy.
Banksy. Now, the thing about this is, the Banksy that they showed here was from last year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's surely the whole purpose of Banksy is that he is right here,
immediate. Did you see the Banksy from last week that was painted on the side of that gym?
Yeah.
I went to see it before it's taken down.
Yeah.
And I went to see it and it felt so 5 hours ago.
You're so
when
right.
When I saw it.
Oh, that's unfortunate for you, because I actually saw it at the private view immediately afterwards.
Yeah.
There was four of us gathered around and we all had some champagne and looked at it.
Yeah. Did it affect you at all?
It had such an effect on me. I just looked at it and felt really moved. I started to cry.
Right.
I cried into my champagne.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I hadn't had an awful lot of sleep the night before, and I was just getting over flu. But, I mean, really, it wasn't about
it was the art.
That. It was the art.
It was the
people
power.
People try and tell you it's your state of mind that already... But no, it was that. It was Banksy.
Of course.
Yeah.
So it's a shame. It's unfortunate that they've chosen such a passé piece of his.
I know. He's such an immediate artist. I mean... Unless, Ruth, I don't know what you think of this, but unless they're hoping that he will suddenly turn up, as is his wont, and graffiti over the existing photograph of his work.
So you mean like they've left it as sort of bait?
Yeah.
Sort of cheese on a mousetrap for Banksy, hoping that he... That would be fantastic.
Art cheese.
Art cheese.
On a...
Like a worm on a hook.
Oh,
Worm art.
That
would be amazing. So we should maybe check that out later and see if he pops up.
Yeah, because I would not be surprised if he was to make an appearance. So, I mean, it would be late at night because he would have to be undercover.
Yeah.
Presumably.
That would be a coup.
It would be such a coup.
That would be a coup if we could get that for the podcast.
A cultural coup.
What would you say sums up... What areas of Britain would you say are Britain? Sums up England for you?
Yeah. So, for me, obviously Oxford.
Yeah, I'm Cambridge.
Yeah.
And sort of Highgate, maybe Hampstead.
That's it
for me.
Oh, right, okay. Well, we really differ there, Ruth.
Right.
I mean, we have such... I mean, I suppose because we come from really different perspectives.
Yeah.
For me, it would be Oxford, Cambridge and Hackney.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That's where we differ.
We're just very different people.
We're just so different. I mean, I'm not talking the whole of Hackney. I'm talking specifically the sort of Stoke Newington
area. Sure. I'm very uncomfortable anywhere there isn't sort of leather and wood.
Yeah.
So Hackney is a bit of a no-go area for me.
No.
I'm afraid.
Whereas for me, it's all about the distressed leather and the distressed wood and the reconstituted.
Right, right. Yeah, that sort of makes my heart ache a little bit, seeing that. I just think, there's a beautiful thing that once was, and now it's been distressed, and I'm distressed.
again,
beautifully put.
When you left, Ruth, how did you feel? It's all about feelings, I think, for you and I. We're very instinctive.
Yeah, we are. I immediately forgot about it and started thinking about the ice cream vendor that was in front of me.
Yeah.
And he was selling hot dogs. So I started thinking about that. And what that says to me is that the art wasn't powerful enough.
Oh.
You know, because if the art was powerful enough, I shouldn't have been thinking about the ice cream. I shouldn't have been thinking about, I'm hungry. I should have been just affected for the rest of the day.
You'll say right.
You know?
I was not left with an overriding feeling of substance and joy, which is what you would expect.
No, exactly.
You presume
Yeah.
If you're seeing an art piece, you would presume that you would walk away with an overwhelming feeling of substance
and
joy.
When I saw Philip Seymour Hoffman live on stage, God rest his soul now, I didn't stop thinking about it until quite recently. I was just constantly thinking about how bowled over I was.
Oh, really?
That is art. That is art. You should never stop. I didn't eat, I didn't sleep. You know, I just thought about that performance constantly.
Day and night.
I
remember I got quite worried. I had to send you around in a cargo delivery because you quite simply were not eating.
I couldn't
or
eat.
Leaving your bed.
No, I forgot how to drive because all I could think of was that performance.
And for a while, you know, there were concerns about your psychological health. But as soon as you explained it to me, I was like, oh, no, I'm not worried.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what happened when I spoke to the doctor as well. He was saying, no, your family have told me to come round. And I just said, it's art. Please leave. And he did.
Yeah.
You know.
He said, intervention.
Intervention, yeah.
You said, yes, an intervention of art.
Intervention of art.
Life.
Into my life. Yeah.
Hello, I'm me. Obviously, I require no further introduction, and you're listening to Desert Island Death Discs, where we ask our castaways to choose one song that they hate so much that they would choose to live on a desert island to avoid hearing it ever again. Today, we hear from a young man with a big heart. Khalid is a trusted employee in his father's fabric shop and an avid fan of melodies. Endearing, enduring, and idealistic, this is his Desert Island Death Disc.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, and the dreams that I dream of, once in a lullaby. I mean, come on man, who wrote this? It's just utter filth. Like, first of all, why would you want to spread such negativity and lies into the world? Because it's clearly lies, like, anyone who knows me knows that I only speak the truth, yeah? And it's clear that rainbows don't exist. Like, everyone knows that rainbows aren't real. It's only something that Skittles invented for an advertisement. Have you ever seen a rainbow in real life? No. So it just makes me a bit angry, man. Second of all, it clearly promotes drugs to kids because it has the word high and lullaby. Now, high meaning drugs and lullaby meaning something aimed at children. Now, I don't even have children, but I'm scared for them, man. So I'm just a bit outraged, really. I just don't like this song. It promotes lies, it promotes drug use, and frankly, I just think it's one of Rihanna's worst songs.
Coming up next, part two of my interview with Morrison, in which we discuss many things, ranging from his hatred of bumblebees to his friendship with David Icke.
What sort of things inspire you, inspire your song lyrics?
The sight of a bird flying into a fence, a tree felled by lightning, the sound of a small child throwing beans on the floor. Life.
Oh, it's beautiful.
The sounds of life.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you ever write about specific people that you know?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
What about, I mean, there's a lot of speculation as to whether you've written about people that you've been in a relationship with.
Yeah. Women that I've been in a relationship with.
Yeah, exclusively women.
Yeah.
In a heterosexual, non-sexual.
In an asexual, heterosexual way that I've written about women.
What's been your most important heterosexual, asexual relationship with a woman?
Probably say the time that I spent with Vanessa Redgrave, although...
Really?
Yeah, we don't speak anymore. We fell out appallingly, but somehow she found herself in my life. For reasons I can never explain, we lived together for 14 years.
What?
Yeah.
This is amazing.
No, I know. It's not...
You've kept it secret all this time.
I don't
time.
Want people to know. I mean, she's fucking mad.
She's mad?
Yeah, she's completely fucking bonkers.
Is she really?
Yeah. I mean, you know, she's obsessed with saving all kinds of strange animals. She's, have you seen this recent thing? I think it's fairly fucking disgusting. Sorry, excuse my language there, but she wants to save bees.
Mm-hmm,
honeybees?
Yeah. Well, that's very...
they rape flowers, don't they?
Oh, no, but they keep the whole ecosystem going.
Well, but at what cost to a flower's dignity? Is that too much to ask, that we keep an ecosystem going, but also think about the dignity of a flower?
I don't see how that's possible. A flower has no concept of its own dignity.
What a blinkered way of the world. Have you ever spoken to a flower about its dignity?
I must admit, I haven't.
Well, you must try.
Okay, I will.
You must make more effort, because we inhabit the same world of the, and it's incredibly arrogant to assume that because they don't have a brain, they don't have emotions and thoughts.
I would definitely assume that.
I would definitely
assume that because they're not, you know, a conscious being.
So, but I suppose you say the same thing about a cat. You know, because a cat doesn't have a brain.
A cat does have a brain.
Where? Where does it keep it?
In its head.
Well, that seems convenient. I don't know. I don't... To be honest...
How often do you speak to flowers?
On a daily basis.
What do they say in reply?
Oh, how are you? What a lovely day. I was attacked by a bee this morning. I say, oh, God, how ghastly for you.
Yeah.
And the flower says, yes, and it's assumed that I'm happy with it. So,
it's quite a long
a fairly long discussion.
Yeah. I mean,
some say I'm projecting.
You wouldn't say that.
No, and and I can take it from your you don't agree with that either. You think that I'm not projecting.
You're definitely not projecting. I think you truly believe that, and that is the case.
Yes, no, I'm pleased you put in that second part of that sentence, because the first one made it sound like I was insane and delusional.
Oh.
Which I was taking exception with, but
yes.
The second part...
Made it okay.
Made it...
Thank you for explaining those two sentences as well, because obviously you have a greater understanding of language.
Yeah, and absolutely. You know. Sometimes people... Again, it's the vomiting of words.
Yes, yeah.
You know, but they don't really think, oh, what are the consequences of those vomits?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, I can hear the lawnmower... Sorry to the listeners, the lawnmower just now in my back garden where we are.
Yes.
And I'm really sorry if that freaked you out a bit.
No, I was a bit worried. The concept of the lawn getting killed.
Yeah, really sorry. I didn't realise that was going to happen today.
No, I believe you. I just think it's, you know, I mean, there's a man down there.
Mowing.
And he looks like he's come in recently with the recent EU border things. It looks like he's...
Oh, what?
Coming through. I mean, I'm not...
What are you implying?
I'm just saying I'm not entirely convinced that you'll be paying that man a full living wage down there.
I absolutely am.
Right. And have you seen his papers? Again, I'm not a UKIP supporter, although I did vote for them in the last election.
What?
Ironically.
An ironic vote? Mm. But that, how can a vote be ironic? That vote still counts.
They don't count it if it's ironic, do they?
Well, how would they know? How would they know it's an ironic vote?
There's a kind of smiley face at the bottom. Is that not...
Oh, that's awful. You've contributed to UKIP. Would you like to be the Prime Minister?
Maybe. I haven't really thought about... The thing about being Prime Minister that I've always thought is it must be a wonderful experience to shape the world in the way that you know it would be better...
It's not just you, though, is it? It would be a whole group of people working together to try and shape the world.
I suppose, in a way, though, there'd be... Let's go for a metaphor here, right?
Yeah.
We, as a band, wrote all the songs. Now, you can't see, because this is a podcast, you can't see that I'm doing inverted commas for wrote all of the songs. But I think most people accept that I wrote all of the songs. And other people played from my sheet music.
So did you write all of the guitar parts as well? Because, I mean, you're not even a guitarist.
I didn't write the guitar parts, but I very much, if it hadn't been for my words...
Yeah.
I don't think Johnny would have had a clue with what to do, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
He's amazing. People consider him to be that. Yeah, consider him to be one of the best guitarists of all time.
So people have... Vanessa Redgrave always used to bang on about it. You know, when she came round to the flat, she said he was as good, if not better, than Eric Clapton and people like that.
But, yeah.
And I don't see it. I mean, you know, I just feel that people give him far too much credit.
Do you think that people should actually see you as the better guitarist of the band? Despite the fact that you weren't...
I suppose, yeah. I think they should. I mean, you know, I never played the guitar. I mean, I have a guitar here and...
Yeah, you bring it with you. Thank you for bringing it to my house.
No. I took it with me to your house just to show you that I do own a guitar.
Yeah, it's good to know.
Yeah, because most people think that I don't. And I like to. I look at it. I have learnt to play it. And I can play two chords.
Well, Well, that's a start.
Yeah. The thing is, I just feel that Johnny, in terms of his guitar and the other two that no one cares about, you know, sure, he went on afterwards to be a member of at least four bands that recorded albums that people consider. And again, you can't see my inverted comma when I do it. Consider. And I'm noticing that this trait doesn't work well for a podcast, this...
But I think it works because we're explaining it.
Yeah.
I mean, the inverted commas, you're using them on almost every word.
Pretty much every word. Yeah. Every word. Words. Yeah.
Every
word. Yeah. That I say.
It must add a lot of time on in your life if you do that. Like, if you go into a shop, do you tend to ask
for I went through a two-year
the
period.
Cigarettes?
Yeah, I went through a two-year period where I punctuate everything. All forms of punctuation, exclamation marks, commas, semicolons.
Yeah, yeah.
Not at colons, they were bourgeois as well, I didn't like them. He's really going to town on the grass there, isn't he?
Yeah,
I'm so sorry. Hear them screaming, can you hear that?
Well, I can imagine it.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry
no,
that you
that's,
have
to... No, it's,
what, I mean, what other things about... You're obviously a very sensitive person being an artist. Mm. What other things about the world sort of trouble you? The modern world, it's a difficult place to be. A lot of people feel it's a difficult place to live.
I think it is, and I think it's a very confusing... I think I'm concerned at the powers to be, the control that we've...
But, I mean, you talk about your childhood and your adolescence as real kind of misery... So, simplicity,
I enjoyed
yes, but...
the misery.
Ah, I see.
In many ways, it was kind of... I realised what it was giving me. And, you know, and I was...
I'm sorry, the lawnmower's going off again. Sorry.
Can you keep it down out there, please?
Sorry. Yeah, we're nearly finished.
I suppose what worries me about the modern world is, you know... I think we're all being taken for a ride by politicians. I think that we're all kind of... There are things going on that we don't know about, which may indeed... you know, date back to aliens, you know.
What?
And
what do you mean, date back to aliens?
I mean, there's no doubt about it, and it's a proven fact that aliens came to the Earth about maybe 3,000 years ago for the first time. And
what?
They farmed here. It's well known, this. This is a kind of, you know, you can see it. There's various...
they farmed here? What, are you talking about crop circles?
I mean, crop circles, so much is made up about crop circles.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, that's such a small part of it. What you need to understand was that before humans were on this Earth, aliens pretty much controlled everything, and they've been here ever since. And what they do is they control our minds as human beings on this Earth, and we're all... it's like that film, The Matrix 3, which was the better of all of them.
Of the three.
Of the three, yeah. But it's like that film. We're all just drones who are unaware that our lives are being controlled by aliens, or as David Icke calls them, lizards.
How close are you to David Icke?
We're very, very close friends. We've been friends for
just
many
friends?
Years.
Just friends?
There is... In certain circles, a kind of intimacy that you need to exchange ideas. Again, I can see from your face that you're assuming that this is a sexual thing. I can't make it clear that I have not been erect since 1993. And this is very key to remembering how I operate.
I'm so sorry. I actually meant romantically. I meant in an asexual, romantic. Intimate capacity.
I suppose in the way that if any minds meet,
yeah,
it's a romantic instance, isn't it, in some ways? I suppose if you agree with someone, are you not romancing them?
Oh.
You know, if you disagree with someone, are you not...
Kicking them in the bollocks.
The bollocks, yeah. That's a good... Yeah. No, I was thinking what the opposite of romancing was. And kicking in the bollocks is the diametric, the exact opposite.
The exact opposite.
Yeah,
found it.
Yeah, yeah, that's very impressive. But no, me and David Icke, you know, I mean, I used to watch him when he was in goal at Coventry, you know.
Right.
Yeah, you know, so I knew him from way back.
Oh, okay, so it's a long-standing friendship.
It's a long-standing friendship. You know, very few people are as cognizant as we are to the rise of the alien in society.
Are you controlled by an alien?
We're all controlled by aliens, and not
who's
in a stupid
alien?
Science fiction way.
Oh,
it's not...
Sorry.
It's not like I'm not controlled by Alf. You know,
that would be amazing.
That would
though.
Be quite good. And of all the aliens, Alf would be one of the ones that I'd be quite happy to, yo.
Wow, yeah. So versatile.
No, thanks. That's an impression I do.
It's really good.
Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah.
So, it's been an absolute pleasure. It's been a really fascinating insight talking to you today.
It must have been, yeah.
Impressionist, author,
yep.
Singer,
yep.
Musician,
yep. Yep.
Vegetable rights campaigner,
raconteur.
It's been amazing, and I just want to remind people who are listening that your autobiography is currently available.
It's available now in, it's published as a Penguin Classic as well, because, you know, it had to be, you know, there was no doubt at the time when Penguin said they were going to do it, it has to be a classic.
And you can buy this in all bookshops. Can you buy it on Amazon, or do you disagree?
I don't know if you can buy it in the rainforest, I haven't been to South America and such. I imagine they'll publish it in South America, but...
Yeah.
I've not seen it there.
What about online?
I don't actually understand the words that you're saying there. on a line.
On the if you can't get to a bookshop, but you really want to get your autobiography and you go on the internet.
I hope not. God, that would be awful. I mean, what would be the point of having a Penguin Classic on the internet?
That's true.
Defeats the point. I mean, in my mind...
Do you only want people to buy...
Can you get
this
books
from...
on the internet now?
You can now. Yeah, you can. You can, I'm afraid. I know it seems...
Well, how would you print them out?
No, that would take a really long time. A lot of paper.
Yeah, and it's expensive.
It would almost be pointless.
Because it would be cheaper to buy the book. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
No, you can get it on a Kindle, which is like a device for reading books online.
It used to be a device for starting fires.
Yeah, that's true. There's
God,
a sort
the world of changes. There's...
poetry in that, though, isn't there? Because if you think, it's almost like you're lighting the flames of, you know, you're burning books.
That is a beautiful thing. Yeah, no, that is a
beautiful, it's I'm in the
beautiful image
of, an
is of burning books, because there's nothing more positive than the idea of
burning
books.
Yeah. It's a lot of, just calls to mind a lot of
great
images.
Societies.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, your book is available.
I imagine it's available on the internet. It's
and
available
in bookshops.
In bookshops.
You'd prefer it if people went, presumably, to an independent bookshop.
Yeah.
On a rainy street.
On a rainy street, maybe wearing some hobnail boots.
Yeah. With quite a lot of coppers.
A lot of, ideally not with coppers.
Police,
no,
money,
no,
with, monetary.
Yeah. Maybe wearing some kind of...
Flat cap?
Yeah, a flat cap would be nice. Or a kind of pork pie hat, but not too expensive. Not the modern day pork pie
hat. I was
going to
say,
hats.
It's
no,
sounding
no, no.
a bit hackney.
No, more like, and not like, yeah, more like the one that pork pie would wear in Desmond's.
I never knew that you were the sort of... artist who would watch Desmond's.
No, I didn't. Vanessa Redgrave was a huge fan of Desmond's. So it was just on in the house a huge amount of time.
In the background.
Yeah, no, it was. I was more of a Real McCoy man.
Of course you were.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a real pleasure talking to you.
It's been fine.
Harrison.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This episode of Back Row featured Susan Harrison, Gemma Arrowsmith, Mawan Rizwan and Charlie Kemp. Join us next time when Trod on Brat will be giving us their Desert Island Death Disc, and I'll be speaking to the incomparable Barry from Watford. Okay, so it's 1:45 a.m, still no sign of Banksy. But I'm sure he'll be along any minute now.
Yeah.